Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for rescuing us. God, thank you so much for allowing us a second chance at everything. God, I pray that we would be faithful to that and that we would be faithful to you. God, that we would be, Lord, the people that you've called us to be, the people that you intend for us to be, the people that you created us to be. God, and in all that, God, that's a lot. But God, that's what we want. We want to be who you've called us to be and who you've created us to be. And God, I pray this morning, God, that we would be able to do that. God, we love you. And I just pray, Lord, as we study your word today, God, that you would just speak to our hearts about even more who you want us to be. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a seat. Today, if you didn't know, is a special day, something that we do every year. And every year we have an outside baptism. This is kind of started, just to be real honest with you. A lot of people go, oh, that's creative. Really, you know, when you're a mobile church, back when we used to meet in schools like we did for, you know, almost a little over 3 years, actually, you know, it was one of those things that we just did because the schools didn't have baptistries in them. They didn't have big water tanks or anything that we could dunk anybody in. So it became one of those things like, well, this is just a good outlet. Let's go do this, and we can turn it into a big fellowship event and baptize at the same time. Well, it's always something that we've loved doing. And truly, baptism is one of those things that, you know, God has called us to be baptized. If you don't know what baptism is about, a lot of people think you get saved through baptism. And let me just kind of go ahead and clarify that Scripture doesn't teach that you get saved through baptism. You get saved through Jesus Christ. Baptism is something that we do after we have come to Christ to let the world know that we are followers of Christ. Now, a lot of people have that mixed up. That's just straight Scripture. I'm just, you know, we're not going to teach through it today, but be glad to share with you anytime about that. And so today, this afternoon, we're doing Plunge, which is our yearly outside baptism. And to kind of just even kind of get things going a little more, typically we've done it at Cheatham Dam. This year we said, you know, could we do it somewhere closer to here that more people could be involved and more people could come to the cookout and hang out, and it could be this huge fellowship thing where we could all gather and play kickball and dodgeball or whatever it is that we're going to do this afternoon. And we are playing dodgeball, by the way, and we're giving extra credit to anybody that dresses like a pirate. But we're going to be doing that stuff this afternoon, 5:30. We're going to be meeting out here on the front lawn and just hanging out and eating. And you can bring a side dish, bring a lawn chair, and hang out. If you can't bring a side dish, just go ahead and come. If you can bring a couple of side dishes for the people that can't, go do that. But we're going to have a good time this afternoon. It's going to be really good. And then the baptism will be at 7:30. Now, here's the wrench that's been thrown in everything as of this morning. I love these phone calls on Sunday morning. Hey, Chris, are we having Plunge today? Yes. Okay. Somebody put soap in the fountain last night. Because where we're doing the baptism this afternoon, this evening, is at the new fountain that is just fully operational, brand new, over here in the village, right here close to the church. And somebody did. They put soap in the fountain, and it's all suds and over. So we're going to play that one by ear. But there's a creek real close by, and if we have to go to the creek, we'll go to the creek. So just kind of be ready for that, and we'll figure that out as we go. So anyway, it'll be awesome. It's going to be an awesome day. If you want to come help out, you can come at 5 o'clock and lend a hand, pulling out some tables, pulling out some extra chairs, and that kind of thing. We would love to have some help doing that, and that would be awesome. This morning, we're talking about confidence. We talked about confidence last weekend in who God is. We talked about our confidence in who God is. Today, we're talking about our confidence in ourselves. One of the most confident moments of my baseball career, which was not that long, but when I played baseball in high school, I remember one night at a park that is not all that far away from here right now, where I was playing center field. And back then, I know you have a hard time believing this, back then I was really fast. And that was like, I was really good at playing outfield. I was terrible at hitting a ball with a bat, which does not make you a good baseball player. You know, playing center field is one thing, being a good baseball player, not. And so I was good at, you know, catching balls and running fast, and that was all good. And this one night, there was a ball that was hit, and I was on it. I mean, I was on this thing. I was so completely confident that I had this ball that it was just a done deal. I knew when I, you know, it was just, there were certain moments that at the crack of the bat, the sound that you could hear, and good outfielders will tell you this, good fielders will tell you this, that you can tell where the ball is going and how far it's going to be, if it's going to be closer up front, closer in the further in the back or whatever. And so I knew exactly where that ball was going, and I knew that I could get to it, I thought. And I'll never forget, a guy that I went to high school with was playing left field. I was kind of running toward that direction, but I had this one, and I had said, I got it, I'm all over it, and I'm running full speed. And Andy, the guy that's playing left field that I went to high school with, he is standing over there, and he's watching me the whole time. And this is kind of just a good illustration of Andy. I won't get into that, but he's just kind of standing there watching. And I am running full blast, and I know that I've got this thing, and I'm seeing it, and I'm going, and the glove is up, and we're going to make it happen. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and it's called a fence. And I ran full speed as fast as I possibly could run right into the chain link fence on the back of that field. And of course, the ball went out, and I thought, I just thought I knew. And I would have, if the fence would not have been there, I would have had the ball, without a doubt. I mean, I had it. I was on it. And I knew the whole thing. I knew I had this thing, but the fence got in the way. And my confidence was shattered at that moment. My confidence was not what it needed to be. And, you know, we have those moments in life where, you know, our confidence is up. We're believing in ourselves for something that we're doing, maybe even something that God has called us to do. Maybe it's just something that we enjoy doing, and we're like, man, I know how this is done. I'm going to do it. I've done this 1,000 times, and I can do it 1,000 times again. But every once in a while, our confidence kind of gets a little out of kilter. And if we're real honest with ourselves, our confidence many times in who we are, in what God has called us to do, is not there. It's just not there. You say, well, Chris, of course it's not there. We're human. You know, we're not God. We're not Superman. We can't just do everything. A lot of times God calls us to do things that we know are way out of the bounds of what, you know, should be, you know, possible for us to even pull off. But God does that for a purpose. We know that from Scripture, and we're going to study into that just a little bit today. This passage of Scripture that we're looking at today is out of 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 4. And I'll just be honest with you, I was honing in on like a few verses, and it's turned into the chapter. And we're going to read through some of this. Some of this I'm going to talk about. Some of it I'm not. Some of it we're going to hit. So just hang with us here. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians starts out in verse 1. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. This is Paul, by the way, writing to the church at Corinth. Verse 2, it says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Now let's just kind of stop there for just a second. We're going to talk about verses 3 and 4 just real quick. In verse 3, Paul is kind of being tongue-in-cheek. He's kind of starting out this thing, and he's talking about we, and he's saying this is what we're doing and everything. Well, let me just be real clear that what Paul is meaning when he is saying we, he is saying we as in myself and people that are on the journey of doing what God has called them to do. You're either on that journey tonight or today, or this morning, or whatever it is, whatever time it is. You know, we're either on that journey of doing what God wants us to do, or we're not. And I'm not going to get, you know, just head over heels into that, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, like, the best place that you could ever be in your life is right in the middle of where God wants you to be. And if you question where that is, I encourage you to do a few things. go seek God in Scripture, seek Him in prayer. We talked about these things a few weeks ago. Seek Him out and let Him show you some things. Don't be oblivious to opportunities to serve Him. You know, if you're a part of a church, whether it's this church or another church, you should be serving somehow as a part of the body. We've got that scripturally. You know, and so all of these things kind of roll in together, and God is using all this stuff to help us to understand that there is a plan, there's a purpose for us, there's a will that He has for our life. And if we can find that, if we can get into that niche, there's nothing better than that right there. I mean, there's a ton of things that I love on this planet. I mean, you know this, I love cars. Love them, love them, love them. But cars do not even compare to when God is using me in a moment that I know this is exactly what He wants me to do. This passage of Scripture, Paul is being a little tongue-in-cheek, and he's saying we, but he's meaning, you know, me and you know, everybody that's on the journey of really trying to seek God and do His will. And in this verse 3, it says, even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are who are perishing. And what he's saying right there is basically, you know, hey, you know, even if you're covering the gospel, even if you're not sharing the truth with people in your life, even if you're not living out who God has called you to be, it's okay. You're just doing that to people that don't know Jesus and they're going to hell. He's being tongue-in-cheek. He's being sarcastic. He's saying, hey, yeah, no, don't worry about it. You know, they're just not going to make it to eternity with us. They just don't know God. Don't worry about it. They just don't know God. You know, Paul's just kind of, I mean, this is just Paul. I mean, he's very sarcastic at times. And in this moment, he's doing that again, and he's just kind of saying, hey, we should be concerned about the people that God places in our lives. He goes on in verse 4. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He's talking about Satan, God of this age, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine into the hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7, this is good stuff, good stuff. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, let me just kind of stop right there. You know, last week we talked about having confidence in God, and this week is about confidence in who we are. And I think the reason that we lose confidence in who God is calling us to be so many times is because of the things that come against us in this world. Just everyday things. You've probably had some stuff happen in your life this week that you wish hadn't happened. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was a month ago. Maybe something 5 years ago in your life got you on a path where you're just kind of like, I just don't even care because this happened and it was so huge and it was so traumatic that I'm just done. I'm done believing that God wants to do something in me. I'm done believing that, you know, anything good is going to happen with my life. And we get to those moments where we have lost confidence in who we are and who God has called us to be. The first blank in your worship guide, you've got little blanks in there this morning. The first blank is right there underneath the scripture. And it says clay pots equals, and we just saw this, talked about the clay pots in verse 7 here. The clay pots equals our weak bodies. That's what the clay pots are. They're our weak bodies. I've even gotten us a little clay pot this morning here. Let me tell you what, these suckers are hard to find. Everything's going plastic on us. At 11 o'clock last night at Walmart in Rivergate, this was the best I could do for a clay pot. They got none at the dollar store here in Pleasant View, by the way, in case you're looking. So we got clay pot here. We're going to let him hang out. But the clay pots are our weak bodies. And the reason being behind that, the reason, and we'll just reread verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know, this is talking about the weakness of this. If I drop this, what will happen? It will break. It will not make it. If I hit it, it will break. I'm no clay specialist, but I'm sure just given in time, if we just set this out in the open, that eventually over time, many, many, maybe hundreds, thousands, I don't know, years, whatever, it would disintegrate into back to what it was originally formed as, dirt. You see, we are weak. God already knows that. And sometimes we're weak and he calls us to do things because he wants to show who he is through us. And oftentimes he wants to give people stories to be able to tell one day later down the road that you've made it through some traumatic experience of your life so that later on down the way you can say, you know what? God brought me through that. And verse 8 is it. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And I'm just, you know, if you need somebody to tell you today, and I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But if you need somebody to just kind of look at you and say, it's going to be okay, I can tell you that right now, it is going to be okay. And this is why I know. Because you are alive. If you're alive, God is not done with you yet. There have been moments in my life when I have felt this way. There have been things that I have gone through that have made me just want to just throw it all away. Let's just give it all up. Let's go do something, you know, whatever. We get to those moments in life where we have the despair and we are persecuted and we are hard pressed on every side and we are struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're not destroyed. Verse 10 goes on, it says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This is such huge stuff. Verse 11, it goes on, it says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And Paul is just bringing some stuff to a head right here that is stuff that, this is kind of paraphrase the whole thing. Being a Christian is hard. It's not the easy road. It is the narrow path. Satan is going to attack us, especially any time that we try to do God's work, especially any time we try to do anything that God has called us to do in our life. Satan is going to attack. The thing that we've got to understand is that the death of Christ, as this is saying, the death of Christ lives in us. We are living out death every day. And what Paul is saying right here, when he is saying we are living out death, when he is saying that, he is saying that because we are Christians, we are going to be faced with death, but God is going to allow us to overcome it every day that we're alive. Many of you have testimony of this. Some of you have testimony of this that's like even like huge, like, you know, I saw the light kind of testimony. I died on the table or, you know, whatever. Some of you, it's just, you know, I went through this period of time where I struggled with this thing or this other deal and you know, only by the grace of God did I ever make it through that. I mean, this is huge. This is so huge. In your worship, God, the blanks fill in this way, and this is this part right here, and it says, we constantly live in the face of danger because we serve God. We constantly live in the face of danger because we serve God. And here's the second, so that Christ living in us will be obvious in our dying bodies. that make sense? He wants to use this weak thing so that the world can see the weak thing and go, man, how in the world is that happening in that? How in the world is that taking place in that weak vessel, in that weak and dying body? Is that God calling? God wants to use our weak bodies. He wants to use our weak bodies. You know, it's fairly cool. I think that, you know, we see a passage like this, and you even see some allusion in the Old Testament to us being called as, actually it's because we made ourselves that way, like old broken cisterns, sewers, also made out of clay and dirt. And then, you know, this, you know, another analogy here of us being like jars of clay, also made out of dirt. And then God, of course, made us out of dirt. And, you know, we don't think about that a lot. I don't think about a whole lot, just, you know, the fact that God just at one point was like, you know, oh, here's some dirt. Man, check that out. Hey, you're naked. You know, I mean, he wasn't thinking that. But, you know, I would have been. But that's why I'm not God. I'm an idiot. And so we got this whole, you know, like, we're made a dirt thing going on. You know, the clay, the jars of clay, you know, it's this weak vessel thing. It's this dependence on God. It's this idea that we have to be ready to humble ourselves to rely completely on God. You get this? We can't do any of it. You know, our human, you know, this human side of us, like, oh yeah, I can do it. I can do a lot of things. Oh yeah, whatever. You can do some stuff. Can you do God's will without God? No. Does anything else matter outside of God's will? Probably not. I know we don't think that way on most days, and we're making daily decisions. We're just kind of going through the motions because we're tired in the morning and we're doing the thing and we're working all day. And, you know, I'm with you. But at the bottom of it is the will of God. And us trying to be something that is weak, but allowing him to do something in us that makes us strong. And therein lies a confidence that exists because he lives in us. God lives in us. This morning, if you're like many people, and if you're like me some days, like all of us some days, you don't feel strong. You don't have confidence. You don't feel like running after the ball again because the fence really hurts when you hit it. But the truth is that, you know, God doesn't destroy us. And we know that. But there are moments in life when God takes us and he takes what we saw as this vessel and he chips on us. You know what I'm talking about? And it hurts. He allows things to happen. He doesn't step in, and we're asking questions and we're going, God, why me? God, why am I going through this right now? Why do I have to deal with this? The truth is that there's moments when he may not destroy us, but he breaks us down some. But the beautiful thing is that if we are truly following God through all of those moments, even if he has chipped away at us, he will in time remold us and make us new again. And that's what we've got to keep in our heads. That's what we've got to keep in mind, is that that's coming back. And I'll be real honest with you, I can't stand here and say that it may come back while you live on earth. But it will come back in eternity. This passage of scripture goes on later, and I'm just going to jump down real quick here. And it says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. We can't see this with our eyes, but we know that it's there because it is promised to us. And the last fill in the blank that you have this morning is this. It says, we can have confidence in ourselves because of who God is in us. Let me pray. God, I thank you this morning. I pray that you would just guide us and direct us in our time of worshiping you. God, I pray if there's just even one person here that doesn't know you today, God, that they would understand, God, that there is something so incredible out there that they have yet to experience. And that, God, they can experience it, but they can only experience it in you. But, God, that when we have you in us, God, we not only have confidence, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do what you have called us to. God, you make us strong. We are not strong alone. You make us that way. And God, I'm praying for us this morning, God, for each and every individual. God, I don't know what they're dealing with. I don't know what they're struggling with. God, they may not even be struggling with anything right now, but they will. And God, I pray that when they do, God, that they will remember that they are a jar of clay. A weak vessel. God, and that you are calling them to be used so that the world can see you in us. God, we love you and we thank you for all the great things that you have done for us. God, I pray that in our lives we would be faithful to you in such a way, God, that everyone around us would see you shining through who we are. God, for anyone that's here this morning that doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that they would draw near to you today. God, for anyone that's here today, God, that has never confessed you publicly through baptism, God, I pray that they would get to be a part of that today. God, just thank you for letting us get to hang out together today and celebrate who you are together and who you are in us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. As we continue to worship you, God, may you be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen.